Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning into yet another episode of the Counterpoint podcast. I'm your host, Neil Shah, and today we have a very interesting topic lined up around how new technologies like 5G and AI are shaping the next generation smartphones. For this discussion, I'm very thrilled to be joined by our special guest, Kedar Kondup, Vice President of Product Management at Qualcomm. Hey, Kedar.
Hi, Neil. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for joining us so late in your time zone. And we have Adam Zeng, Senior Vice President of Smartphone Business at Xiaomi. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Neil. Very nice to meet you.
Thanks for the time. Thanks very much. So today's theme for the discussion is going to be around new generation capabilities in the smartphones. So what we have seen with every cellular generation, the mobile phone form factors have changed, and there are different capabilities which have evolved, right, from high-speed connectivity to advanced photography, videography, and gaming. So the key components which are driving this significant transformation over the last three decades have been basically at the heart of the phones, which are like system on chip and the RF front end, right? So these technologies, obviously, Qualcomm is the leader driving these technologies across generations and across price tiers. And then we have fast-growing OEMs such as Xiaomi, which are bringing these capabilities to the mass market. So let's start this discussion, and maybe I can jump in starting with Kedar. Qualcomm recently had a slew of announcements, starting from Snapdragon 778G at the 5G Summit to 888 Plus at the MWC 2021. So can you share your perspective on what are these enhancements we are seeing with respect to the previous generation, and what form of capabilities and features does it unlock?
Sure. Thanks, Neil. So obviously, we're very excited, and the Snapdragon lineup for 2021 for all of the devices we've announced so far are definitely leading in terms of technology. So our general belief, obviously, is that we want to make sure we keep innovating and driving good innovation in the market. And obviously, we're very excited that Xiaomi and Qualcomm have been in this journey together of trying to make sure we bring a lot of premium tier devices to market. Specifically talking about the 888 Plus is, of course, our latest flagship and the most premium Snapdragon platform that's available in the market today. If you go back, we first introduced the Snapdragon 888 back in December of last year. And 888 already debuted a whole list of impressive firsts in terms of technology innovation in the market. And now when we look at 888 Plus, we take that leading edge technology and innovation and enhance it even further. A couple of examples of what we've done, for example, it has a much faster CPU, significantly improved AI performance. And our goal and theme, if you will, has always been around making sure we drive good experiences. And in this case, we've talked specifically about driving intelligent entertainment experiences. Specifically looking at the 888 Plus, we've improved, obviously, the CPU performance, which we have the Cryo 680. It's up to 3 gigahertz now. So obviously, the intent with when we increase the CPU performance is to make sure that the response time with apps is much better. It has good browser performance, and obviously a lot of folks want to browse the web and stuff. And then with AI, it's actually huge. We're talking about a 20% improvement on AI, even over the 888. So it is our sixth generation of AI with 32 trillion operations per second, so 32 TOPS. So huge improvements. And the reason for that is because we want to make sure that as devices get more intelligent and the interactions with the device and the user get more intuitive, we want to drive the best mobile entertainment experience that is available. So all in all, I think what you'll see is that with the 888, if you thought the 888 was best, now we have something that's even better with the 888 Plus.
Oh, fantastic. So yeah, talking about intelligent experiences, I think that is something which is going to be the cornerstone of this decade, I would believe. With 32 TOPS is huge in terms of capabilities for artificial intelligence. But the key thing is how and what OEMs do with these capabilities, right, which you guys are offering. So I would like to understand, Kedar, briefly from you, what are different applications? You talked about entertainment, right? So how does this AI change the experiences or transform the experiences like from camera to security, voice assistant, or battery life and so forth?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, Neil. When we look at, obviously today's environment, let's say we talk about the applications that exist today in a smartphone, I'd say that there is a strong demand for a lot of the applications to host what I like to call multimodalities. And what I mean by that is it's a fusion of various technologies that require or that are enabled for a lot of things such as, for example, vision or speech or text. And a lot of times these technologies run pretty concurrently. So let's maybe take a step back and look at a specific use case. Today, we're talking about a lot of video conference, right? We're all, several of us work from home, and video conference is obviously gaining more and more traction. So think about a use case where we're all on a video call, we're dialed into work from home. And, as a user, I'd like a lot of things in terms of background segmentation. I don't want to see anything except want to only show myself on camera. So I want to blur the background. Or I want to look handsome. So I want a much better camera super resolution. And sometimes I want the video stream that's coming in, I want a much improved video stream. And, people operate in different conditions, right? Like somebody is operating in a low light condition, but I still want to make sure that the video that is going through has the best possible experience ever. And then, so that's just one piece talking about video. Think of the same use case where now I talk about audio, right? I want to eliminate background noise. Let's say there's a dog barking in the background. We're all at home. We have kids running around. So I want to suppress all this background noise. And for example, if you just look at a couple of these things, ideally what I'd like to have is I even want to have natural language translation as a part of this use case. So just think about the use case that I'm talking about, right? It requires so much concurrency. I talked about speech, I talked about video, we're talking about text. So in order to enable a lot of these compute intensive platforms, there's a lot of AI that runs in the background. So just to provide a consistent use case, we're not even talking about a peak use case, just a consistent use case. We need a lot of energy, a high compute, and all of that at very low power. And the way to do that for us is to enable this through AI. And when we talk about AI, we do talk about the neural networks, multiple neural networks that can run concurrently. And that's part of the reason why we're focusing so much on making sure that our AI experience with, say, 32 TOPS, as in the Snapdragon 888 Plus platform, is something that we're focusing on to drive the best user experience.
Great. Maybe I can extend this question to Adam. So, Adam, my colleague Ritesh, who is producing this podcast, have been testing a lot of Xiaomi devices, the latest Mi 11 series as well. So what we have seen, Xiaomi has done a fantastic job with integrating these cutting-edge features from Qualcomm into its phones. Can you talk about how Xiaomi is leveraging these features across the Mi portfolio?
Okay, thanks, Neil. Thank you for inviting me. In 2020, the Xiaomi Mi 11 series devices were the world's first to adopt Snapdragon 8 and 7 series mobile platform, which are now very popular among users. Combining Qualcomm Spectral ISP, the top image processor in the globe, with Xiaomi's vast investment and innovation on camera, we deliver the best-in-class camera experience by bringing together the world's best telecam, the top fold lens, the largest pixel size, and the most advanced algorithm. In our all-round cooperation, Qualcomm provides excellent hardware on which Xiaomi makes optimization and differentiation efforts, including CIS and algorithms. Thus, Xiaomi has maintained its leading position in camera. Currently, Xiaomi has established multiple camera research institutes in the United States, Europe, Japan, and China, and continued comprehensive partnership with Qualcomm.
Great. Thank you very much, Adam. I think I completely agree with your points, and the camera output, the photography and videography is phenomenal on the new Mi 11 series. And we look forward to Xiaomi adding more and more capabilities, leveraging the capabilities of the platform beneath. So talking about other capabilities which 888 Plus unlocks, Kedar, can you talk about some of the gaming experiences on these? As gaming becomes very important in this 5G era, and everyone is working from home, but also spending a lot of time on phones, right? So gaming has become one of the top use cases on phone.
Yes, definitely, Neil. I think there's no doubt, right, that mobile gaming in general has had a lot of traction, as you just highlighted. I mean, we're, you know, more specifically in the last year and a half with the remote work environment. I mean, just to maybe point out a few facts on gaming that you were referencing, just in 2020, the mobile gaming market was estimated at close to about $100 billion. And I think by 2030, mobile gaming is, I think we're projecting it closer to like 250 billion. So definitely a huge focus in terms of how handset devices are used for the best mobile gaming experience. And so to think about how Snapdragon focuses to drive that experience as gaming on platforms, you know, at least the way I'd like to think about it is there are several features that are in gaming specifically that we bring first to mobile. And our goal is obviously to transform the premium mobile device into a gaming machine. And the way we do that is we sort of develop an entire arsenal of hardware features and software features that are optimized specifically for gaming and are integrated in the premium tier Snapdragon mobile platform. So, you know, there's several things. If you think about just PC-like gaming experiences, we're talking about smooth interactions, superior performances, a very fast, blazing fast response time, incredible audio. Then we're talking about ultra-realistic graphics and cinematic-like experiences and so much more. And so the way we do some of these enablement is we oftentimes team up with top game studios. And our goal is to break barriers and to sort of bring in mobile games, even, for example, at 144 frames per second. And so we run that at such high frame rates, we want to make sure that we're not compromising on quality, we're not compromising on a smooth performance. And obviously, when it comes to gaming, there's so much more to it, especially if you're a professional gamer. You know, there is a little bit of jank or a little bit of stutter or a little bit of glitch. And that's where, I guess, winning matters in mobile gaming. So a lot of focus, at least from us, in focusing on all these little things. So just to give you another example of a feature that we've enabled on mobile gaming, it's called Quick Touch, where we spend a lot of time optimizing down to the millisecond level. And our goal is that as we do that, we decrease the latency and increase the speed from touch to the display by up to about, say, close to about 20%. So there's obviously a lot of focus from us as we bring desktop level features to the smartphone. And, you know, our goal is to enable the market so that these are first available on Android. Developers can create more realistic experiences, more immersive graphic experiences. So overall, I think, you know, and we've talked about, for example, updatable drivers in the past. So that you don't, like if I'm a user that's really playing games and stuff, I don't have to wait for an OS update. With the updatable graphics drivers from Qualcomm, you can actually just update some of the capabilities without waiting for a complete OS update. So overall, I think, as you highlighted, Neil, there is a huge focus from us on gaming because we believe that gaming as a category is extremely critical in how people are using their mobile devices today.
I completely agree. And yeah, I love the Elite Gaming features which you guys have presented and are offering. The variable rate shading is something I believe is something game changer, right? When it comes to power consumption savings as well as FPS improvements. So that's, I think, mobile gaming is going to be a huge use case. It already is, but even more once we have 5G cloud gaming enabled in multiple regions and multiple users take benefit of it.
Neil, I hope you're going to use one of the Xiaomi 888 devices and participate in Qualcomm's Conquest gaming tournament. And I hope you win that tournament in India.
I'll try, definitely try. So Kedar, which is your favorite game?
Oh, I'm not a mobile gamer by any. My son does game, but I can't. My games, he's also not like an active gamer. He just does it for fun. But I've tried to play a few games, but I can't claim to be a very good gaming person.
So Adam, talking about gaming and other 5G cloud experiences, can you talk about how things are changing in China from your perspective with respect to 5G capabilities? And is it unlocking newer features like cloud gaming or high-speed broadband or augmented reality, and how Xiaomi is ready for it?
Okay, thank you. Our research on 5G has been going on for more than 5 years, and we introduced 5G smartphone based on Qualcomm's Snapdragon mobile platform as early as in 2019. In the 5G market, Xiaomi has made plenty of progresses. Not only have we gained a large market share, but also play a leading role in application innovation. Thanks to advantage like the wide bandwidth and low latency, just as Kedar said before, 5G has brought mobile gaming and HD video to more people around the globe. With the evolution of 5G technology, more use cases will be better supported in the future, such as smart home, XR, and smart transportation, which can be seamlessly connected in all scenarios. And I believe Qualcomm is one of the most important partners for Xiaomi in 5G. And we have also set up a joint lab to drive the development and wide adoption of 5G.
That's some great progress going on in 5G space and bringing it to mainstream market. And talking about mainstream market, Kedar, can you talk about 778G, which was launched at 5G Summit, because it's a next generation to Snapdragon 765G, which was one of the best-selling SoC which brought 5G mainstream, right? So can you talk about what are your expectations with 778G, the design wins, and so forth?
Yeah. Of course, Neil, thanks for highlighting that. Definitely, 765 is an excellent platform. It was definitely game-changing in terms of bringing 5G into a sub-premium tier very, very quickly. And so you should definitely think of 778 as like the quintessential successor to already successful 765 and 768 devices in the market. And so far, we've had tremendous success with 778G. I think our first device is already out in the market. I think Honor launched the first device. And very soon, you'll get to see more and more devices that will come to market very, very soon. I think we've obviously even announced our partnership with Xiaomi. And I wouldn't want to give away Adam's excitement, but we're definitely anxious to work. We are working very closely with them. We've talked about our partnership on the 778, and the expectation is that within in the coming year, you'll see many, many devices launched globally with the 778G. And obviously, as we highlight the G for gaming, so definitely there is a lot of focus. And we specifically talked about gaming right before this. You'll definitely see a lot of optimizations from our standpoint in terms of select gaming experiences that we'll definitely bring to the 778G platform.
Great, great. So maybe switching gears, we talked about AI, we talked about gaming and 5G, right? So the thing which I wanted to check with Xiaomi as well as Qualcomm was, how do you guys see the evolution of foldable phones and the foldable form factors? And how does it change in terms of the different technologies which are baked in, right? From SoCs to cameras, like under-display camera, for example, and also in terms of capabilities, what are the new capabilities does it unlock in form of new experiences and so forth? How do you see these display and camera tech shaping the industry?
Thanks, Neil. And Xiaomi has constantly made a large-scale investment in display and camera technologies and taken the leading position in the industry. As early as in 2016, Xiaomi already made the full-screen display commercially available on Xiaomi Mix for the first time, driving the development of full screen display over the past 5 years. As you mentioned, we have already launched fold concept smartphone this year, which are popular among end users in China. Xiaomi has led the R&D of new display globally. When it comes to the future of display and camera technologies, we believe that the pursuit of higher resolutions, higher refresh rates, more realistic color, and lower power consumption is the trend. And Xiaomi will continue to invest in these segments, forge deeper partnership with Qualcomm, and deliver better user experience with more amazing products.
Great. Kedar, your thoughts on the same?
You know, honestly, Neil, what Adam said is absolutely correct, right? There's a lot of evolution that is happening in display and camera, right? These are two areas where obviously every year you get to see more and more. I mean, think about it from a few years back, right? Not too long ago, we were talking about QXGA and little QHD type displays, 240. And now we started talking about 720p, then we started talking about 1080p, then we started talking about 2K displays, and then we went from bezel-less edge-to-edge displays. And so I think overall, there's definitely, and I think Adam highlighted something which is also interesting, right? That from not just was resolution, but we also started talking about better refresh rates. And some of these things matter to people, to consumers that are playing games, and it drives a very different viewing experience, especially if you're like me and your eyes are starting to as you start getting older and you need glasses and stuff, these things make a big difference. So and obviously I think this is not the end, right? There's a lot more innovation that that is still left in my mind in terms of for example, there is we've talked about the cutouts for camera, and none of us want, for example, a cutout right in the middle of your display just for camera. And so there's obviously under display stuff that's going on, but many challenges and technology investments that have to be made. So exactly as Adam was highlighting, there are large-scale investments that all of us are looking at, because we want to drive a great user experience. We are working with display suppliers. We are working with camera vendors. We are doing a lot more R&D in this area. And our goal is, it's beyond just the hardware, right? There is a lot of AI, believe it or not, that can be used to help improve even the image. So lots of mechanisms, because the camera is still blocked by the display. And there are lots of issues, for example, with light sensitivity and the color tinting of the image as... how's the display substrate? Is it made of plastic? And so how do you, there's a lot of diffraction that happens. So you really have to look at a lot of these R&D type projects to make, I know it seems very small that, hey, why can't we just get rid of that notch? And why can't we just drive a better experience? But the goal is, if I'm a consumer, I want to look very cool. I want to look pretty when I take that selfie. But at the same time, I don't want that camera coming on top of my display. So the understanding from what the consumer wants is very clear. But to go make that a reality, there's a lot of R&D work that's happening. So I do think there's the innovation is not done yet. There's a lot more innovation that still exists, even in display and camera. And I think you'll start to see that over the next several years.
Great. And to my question on what are your thoughts on like foldables, form factors? How does it change or make your job difficult from engineering perspective?
You mean just foldable form factors?
Yeah. How does Qualcomm optimize for those kind of experiences? Because the use cases are different, right? It needs to be also more intelligent in how. At software level as well as at the hardware level, in terms of the thickness of the device, then where to put the millimeter wave antenna module and so forth, right?
Correct. So Adam, we've been working with Adam and team on, as you know, on the foldable display and stuff. But Neil, it's very interesting, right? Because there is so much more to these foldable displays than just the technology, right? There is obviously displays need to grow. in terms of mass scale adoption. Second, you know, as a consumer, you really don't want to see that folding line in between, especially as you fold displays. So I think there is a lot of investment that's going in that particular area. Third, as you highlighted, there's software. There's a lot of software work. For example, especially if I have a large display, like a 6-inch or 8-inch display, when I unfold the device, I want to be able to run multiple concurrent apps, right? And those apps need to be intelligent, such that, for example, on the left side, I want to be able to run my communications app, whatever it is. It could be Microsoft Teams, it could be Google Hangouts or whatever. And on the right side, I want to be able to check email. And so I want to be able to operate concurrently through multiple apps. So how do they fit on the screen? And obviously, as you know, even in desktops, it took a long time to readjust some of those images and how it would fit to different form factors. So I think it's a very interesting use case. I think there's going to be more and more investments in foldable. And overall, I think between both hardware and software, there's going to be innovation over the next several years.
Great. I think we have discussed quite a lot today, from 5G, AI, camera, as well as foldables. I really would like to thank Kedar and Adam for sharing their perspective and insights today. I believe this was quite interesting and brings a lot of insights to those who are listening to this podcast. Thank you very much, Adam. Thank you very much, Kedar.
Thank you. See you next time.
Thank you, Neil. It was nice talking to all of you. Thank you.
And for all our listeners, thank you for tuning in. You can listen to our previous podcast on counterpointresearch.com. And we are also present on major podcasting platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. So stay safe and happy listening. Bye now.